It's another episode of the Nocomination Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown. That's JT Holton. We've all been canceled. This is the beginning of the end of the final episode. Here we are. The Nocomination Podcast Show is... it's like the SpaceX 9 rocket that went off this last week. We had a nice ascent, but now, as we are returning to the ground, we're going to explode and crash violently as we turn upside down, because that's what this show... what better ending for this show than to explode in a vast array of pieces and parts and anger and leave the internet so upset and mad with nothing to do about it. So here we are. Fellas, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you guys.
JT in full lightning gear. He looks like a small squall of a storm coming through. He has lightning hat, lightning jacket, and in the background a giant lightning flag. So
NHL. They just played. They played the Red Wings today. It was on TV, and it was cold, so I needed a jacket, and I've only got like three jackets, so I went with this one.
When in doubt, jacket. That's the plan. JT, still no sign of Marcelo Ozuna being signed, but Nelson Cruz did sign with the Twins, seemingly narrowing down the field for Ozuna. It looks like there's a possibility of Ozuna going to one of four places. I'll throw in a fourth one just to be safe. Toronto, still rumored in the mix. Tampa Bay, there was a Hispanic rumor from some Spanish-speaking guy on Twitter that he'd signed with them, but turned out to not be true.
But then JT verified that, though, with his – he's got some people that work for him that are Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, some of your employees tried to
they're Hispanic, and I said, do y'all know anything about it? And they said no.
Okay. And because one Hispanic person knows everything about all the rest. I mean, that's the way
they checked Hispanic Twitter, and they said they didn't see anything.
I mean, all white people are the same. So, you know, might as well assume that about everyone else. The other team – of course, the Atlanta Braves. And the other dark horse candidate here that not being mentioned by national voices, but somebody that I would throw in the mix there, fellas, the Texas Rangers. I could see the Texas Rangers being a little dark horse sneaky here at the end because they haven't done much. They got a new stadium. It wouldn't hurt them. They could play them at DH. They could do a lot of fun stuff. So, I don't know. I'm not totally not counting them out. But I still think Braves are probably the 60% favorite to sign Ozuna. But there's a part of me that as this podcast explodes into its finale, I kind of want to see him sign somewhere else just to see the entire Braves Twitter sphere all go into full-on tremors as if they've had COVID.
I want him to sign like full-on shock with the Rangers for like cheap, you know what I mean? I want him to go to the Rangers for like $11 million a year.
I really don't, but there's a part of me that would enjoy it, and that part of me probably needs to die, but there's a part of me
don't
that
let
just
it die.
Still
don't let
would
that
like,
part of you die. No, Ken.
I think
oh,
I probably
no,
will.
Man, how about Ozuna with the Mets for like $10 million?
There you go. Yes. Like, yes.
Like a four-year, $40 million,
give
very
me that
affordable
on my timeline.
Deal.
Give it to me right now.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I am seeing people that are already so melted down because Alex hasn't done anything.
Oh, dude,
this
I've already
that,
seen,
these are their
I've already
words.
Seen like he should be fired. Like,
oh yeah,
already.
Yeah. It, like
we
that
were
he
one,
has no balls to make a trade. I've
we were
seen
one
that.
Run
yeah.
from the World Series and he's done nothing for this team. He needs
except,
to be fired.
Oh yeah, except he did spend like $30 million on pitchers to make us better, but he's done nothing.
And he's. And he's never done anything to protect Freddie Freeman other than, you know, the two
have him on the team.
1 year contracts in the Braves history the past.
But he only likes 1 year contracts. He only likes 1 year contracts, JT. He won't sign anyone that's beyond a 1 year contract. Except
aren't you
for
glad?
Except for Acuña and Ozzie, who he signed to like 8 year deals. But you know, he wasn't signed anyone to any more than 1 year.
Imagine if we had signed Josh Donaldson to like a 3 year, $18 million per year deal. We'd be paying terrible Josh Donaldson right now.
Guys, if people that were Braves fans were actually semi-reasonable, would there be 23 different Braves podcasts out there?
No.
So that people could listen to Dylan Short on two different podcasts rant about how terrible the Braves are for not having already signed a player who wasn't going to sign until the DH was clear whether or not it was going to be in both leagues? I mean, I don't think that's I mean, it's apparently working.
Remember that time when
he's got two.
Remember that time when Dylan compared Freddie Freeman to Bryce Harper because of their DRS?
I do.
What is DRS?
Defensive run. It's a defensive metric. But the humor in that is he was comparing a first baseman against a right fielder. Mm-hmm. And I tried to explain to him like what that meant, and I don't think he still understands.
Well, isn't it one position has a lot more impact on the game defensively than the other?
That's
position.
Correct, yeah. Right,
okay. And here's the thing, fellas. Like, Dylan is actually a pretty smart dude. Like, I've listened to Dylan. He says some very smart things sometimes. But I think sometimes people, and I'm just using Dylan as an example here, because like I said, there's 23 Braves podcasts, and I would say of the 14,000 hosts on those 23 Braves podcasts, that 13,999 of them have no ability, they all are guilty of this exact same thing, and that is they get educated beyond their intellect, and they get so much information that they don't know how to trust information anymore, and it messes them up. So
like how to properly filter
information and use it in context. Suddenly you understand DRS is a cool number. It adds a lot of context. And then before you know it, you're like slobbing on DRS like it's your boyfriend from 15 when you were 15, and like, you know, it's just like it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
The look on Josh's face right now is kind of priceless. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, they're all just very stupid people. Yeah.
I don't think they're stupid. I think they use numbers to build whatever storyline they create in their head, and they find whatever numbers make that storyline sound more accurate.
Okay.
So sometimes people have an idea, and then they just look for stats to back up what they already think is right. And you can do that with pretty much anything. You can find a stat telling you what
that's
you
called,
believe.
That's called being a fan, because even before there was stats, it was like, oh, well, let me give you Josh Brown stats. What? Josh Brown prefers Brett Favre to Peyton Manning because Brett Favre looks better in a pair of Wrangler jeans. That's a Josh Brown stat. The ability of a player to look good in a pair of Wrangler jeans affects Josh's storyline on that player. Right, Josh? I mean, am I incorrect on this? Like, your numbers are just a little different numbers. You have, like, WGS, like Wrangler jean successfulness. Wrangler jeans saved. There you go. Like, Josh has a WJS stat for everyone.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not wrong here, right? I mean, like, Josh Tomlin, you can convince me he was the best thing to ever hit the Braves bullpen simply because you said he looked good, which I'm still, the verdict's still out on.
He's super and cute. But I guess the difference is, and maybe I'm biased because I am me, but the difference is I'm not being really serious, and I think that they are.
That's true. That's true. I think they convinced themselves of their own argument. Does that make sense? I don't know if they even really believe their argument. Like, I can do this. I'll be 100% honest. I've done this. Like, I come up and I'm like, hey, Josh, Nick Markakis isn't as good as Jason Hayward. And, like, here's 15 reasons why. And I just spouted some crap off while I was arguing with you. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, I go back and I'm like, okay, let me prove that what I said to Josh is actually true, so that I look smart and Josh looks dumb. And then I come up with like 15 numbers that show you that Hayward's automatically better than Nick Markakis. And then you come up with 30 numbers that tell me Markakis is better than Hayward. And then finally you get so cynical and fed up with all the numbers till you're just like, hey, did you know that Nick Markakis has a higher WRC plus than Ichiro Suzuki? And that's like all you ever say if anyone ever asks. I mean, I'm not wrong here, right? Like, you just, the numbers just, people get sick of it because they don't tell the whole story. They just become like hammers for people to hit you upside the head with that don't mean anything.
I think I'm so far removed from that I don't even like remember what it's like. You know what I mean? Like, after being born again in the ways of Nakahoma and not caring about that stuff, I don't even. I forget that they exist. And then the other day I was on Twitter and I see on the timeline, Dylan and some guy getting into it about no, not getting into, they were agreeing with each other about how Alex Anthopoulos should be ashamed of him, all this stuff. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, they almost went to the World Series last year. And then I was like, oh, yeah, these people exist. I forgot about them. They, you know, salivate over all the advanced metrics.
They want to be Yankees fans. Like, seriously, they want to be Yankees fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why they don't just give themselves permission to be Yankees or Dodgers fans. Like, just go be a Yankees or Dodgers
fan.
That's
what's fun about being a Braves fan. Like, growing up being a – well, I mean, it was different, I guess, because you could argue they had a bigger budget maybe with Ted Turner. But, like, being a Braves fan is like being an underdog. You know, it's like Chipper Jones was almost in a weird way kind of an underdog. And when he would talk to reporters after games, he would love getting shade from the media. And he would say things like,
oh, yeah,
we're just we love just laying back and just, you know, letting people think that we're sleeping. He was like that. And that's what's fun to me about being a Braves fan is, like, we don't have the biggest budget, and that's fun. It's all good. Let's have fun with it.
If you want to be a fan of the Dodgers, go be a fan of the Dodgers. Like, it's fine.
There's no fun in that. There's no fun
to go be. If you can, there is fun. It's fun to go win the World Series.
If you have the money to buy whatever you want, that's no fun. And sports is no fun, in my opinion. It's no fun.
Think of it this way, Josh. You quit being an Alabama fan, sort of. For the most part,
right?
Like, you came home to being a Georgia fan.
Yeah, I did
fan.
Come back, yeah.
And you told us why.
Right.
You told us why. Right. You got tired of winning everything.
It was so boring.
Like, it wasn't fun to be the guy that had, like, all the money, all the players in the world, and just always be in the national championship. And, like, that sounds silly. Like, there's people that say, oh, yeah, I'd love that every year. Have you met many Alabama fans? There were people wanting to fire Nick Saban halfway through the year last year because they weren't scoring enough points. Like, you become a terrible human being when all you ever do is win.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And that's what's fun about being a Dogs fan. Being a Bulldog fan and a Braves fan is a little bit, there's some overlapping a little bit, right? Georgia, it's like you're just, you know, you're kind of always an underdog, no pun intended, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's truly 100% underdog anymore, but it's much more so than being like Alabama, where you've won. If you've played at Alabama in the last, what, since Nick Saban's been there, you've won a national championship at some point while you played at Alabama.
But see, that's the thing. Alabama fans are Yankees fans, and they're Lakers fans, and, you know, they're probably Chiefs fans by this point. You know, that's just who they are. 90% of them are just front runners who think it's cool. And everything, and to me, that cheapens the sport. My brother-in-law was like this. He goes, he had a LeBron James Cavaliers jersey, and then you'll never guess what happened. About 10 years ago, he had a Miami Heat LeBron jersey because LeBron was his favorite player, and so he was just like, "No, I'm a Heat fan now." And I'm like, "Dude, you can't." I was like, "That just cheapens it because then you're gonna feel empty when they win the championship." It's not going to mean as much to you because guess what? Now he's a Lakers fan. He went back to being a Cavs fan for a little bit, and then now he's a Lakers fan. He's had his three different favorite NBA teams all win NBA championships because he's a LeBron fan. And I'm like, you can be a fan of LeBron James and still have a favorite team. Like, you can like an athlete and not – because part of fandom is failure. Like, that's – 95% of the time,
and bitching about stuff, you know, and like,
and bitching, and that makes
lighthearted.
But there is a line. There is a line though. Like, when you let Alex Anthopoulos having not traded for Ozuna by February 2nd become the thing that you bitch about constantly
all day, every
day, to the point that people can't stand to be around
mental,
you because it's all you ever
talk about. At
that
point, it's a mental deficit.
Like, that's not
right.
You're beyond like a normal safe. Sane level of fandom. You know, like you're approaching like idiocy. Anyway, and I mean, I'm sure I've done the same thing. It's like part of why I'm like kind of looking forward to having some time off from Nakahoma. It's kind of like I love the Braves and I love watching the Braves, but I kind of need to breathe a little bit from time to time. I don't like being wrapped up with all you weirdos, and I don't mean you two. I mean like all the weirdos that stand in line to get bobbleheads signed by guys that they paid $50 to get a signature from. Like, those people are fine, and it's fine that that's their fandom. I just don't like being around those people all the time.
Yeah.
You're weird, you know? And like, for me, you're weird. Like, and if you've done that, doesn't make you a terrible person. It just means I don't want to be around you all the time because you're weird.
And people don't know this, that don't have the three people on Braves Twitter that don't have a Braves podcast don't realize that when you have a Braves-centric podcast like Knucklehead Nation, there's a little bit of pressure to keep up with everything. And that's honestly, that's a lot to keep up with because baseball season, there's a game almost every day. There's stuff happening all the time. And even if you don't need to, there's this feeling that you need to, at least for me, because I'm especially a personality like I have, you know, I have to always, you know, be the center of attention and I got a Braves podcast and I have to keep up with everything. And that is really draining. So to what Ken said, I'm just excited about just having a game on in the background, you know?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing, not paying attention to everything.
In normal times, when the stadium is full of people during a game, 90% of those don't even have a Twitter account. You know, Twitter is just the weird fringe. It's like that with every fan base. Like, the ones on Twitter, like, if you talk about, like teams that have a notorious Twitter following, the Tennessee Volunteers, their Twitter people are insane, and you've dealt with what Cardinals Twitter, Josh, and Dodgers Twitter.
Right.
Those are always outliers. Those are always just a fringe, part of the fan base. It's not, the average fan doesn't care. You know, the average fan just watches the game and goes, I hope the Braves win tonight.
When you were on Twitter, you're not on Twitter. When you're on Twitter, you have this feeling that Twitter is real life. These are Braves fans. Braves fans. Yeah. This is a direct representation of Braves fans. Then you go to a game, or you go to Chop Fest or whatever, and you realize, 3% of these people are on Twitter, and all of them, not all of them, 98% of these people are not crazy. They're actually kind of cool and laid back, and they kind of like Nick Markakis. They don't give two craps about exit velocity. You know, they just want to watch baseball with their kids.
Yeah, and they like for players who are struggling to get better. It's the weirdest thing to me to see fans. Look, it's one thing to turn on a player that's been terrible for a year and a half, right? I kind of get that. But, when somebody's struggling, there's nothing worse than hearing constantly on Twitter how the Braves should hurry up and cut Ender Inciarte. That drives me batty. Look, if he's been bad for 6 months, I get some of the hate. I get being frustrated with him. I get some of that kind of stuff. It was Emilio Bonifacio when Snicker kept, or Freddie or whoever it was that year, kept running him out there, and we're all oh my God, please get this guy off my team. There's a level of that that's okay. But there's also a level where you're kind of I want a guy that's slumping to do better. I want Austin Riley in the middle of a slump or Dansby in the middle of a slump to pull out of the slump. And I don't want to just sit here and hate on him the whole time. I don't know. It gets weird.
My dad, so fellas, growing up, my dad was always, if somebody like Ender or whoever was in a super long slump, my dad was always he's due.
He's due. He's due. He's due. That's what my daddy said. Yeah.
You hate that. It's you got a one run lead, the bases are loaded, there's two outs, and you're trying to close out the game, and the guy coming to the plate is 0 for his last 22. And I'm oh no, not that guy. Because statistics say he's about to get a hit. I'd rather have the guy who's 7 for his last 9, because I'm he's due to come back down to earth a little bit. I hate that. I hate, or when the guy's kicking a field goal and he's he's made 48 consecutive field goals, where you're well, damn it, he's probably about to miss, because eventually.
Don't say anything. One. Don't tell me. You're right. Chris Collinsworth. Yeah. But so fellas, let's change gears here for a minute. While we have been very controversial in this show at times, and we've talked about bloggers and podcasts at times, we have somewhat been
unpaid bloggers and unpaid.
Unpaid specifically.
Podcasters. Yeah,
unpaid
we don't go after McAlpin and, the ones that get paid and that kind of, for the most part.
Yeah. But one thing we've never really done is give our opinions of certain of these new podcasts. And so rather than be full on controversial in a sense of, us saying they suck or that they don't suck, I think I've come up with a strategy for us to be able to do this
okay.
and relate to our everyday listener in a way that only Nakahoma Nation fans can really understand and value. So this is what we're going to do, fellas. Okay. I'm going to name a podcast, and together we're going to throw out what band best represents that podcast.
Okay. Okay.
So like Nakahoma Nation, you might say, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm not saying that's sure. correct. I'm just using this as sure. an
AC/DC,
example. You know, and then
something like that.
Yeah. Throw out and then be like, well, here's a little bit of why. And we will try not to say they're terrible. Like that will be not the point of this.
Our goal we don't tear down others. Say, right.
Well, I mean, we do, but the goal is to not just come out and say they
okay.
suck.
Okay.
The goal is to kind of illustrate
why they suck.
Maybe
I mean,
what we don't care oh, okay, about okay. their brand quite as much. Right.
Right.
Like that's, I don't know. That's my thoughts. Just, are you guys on board with kind of where we're going here? Like,
yeah.
I just,
yeah.
Know.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with a positive.
Okay.
One that we are not as likely to be negative.
Okay.
About, okay. So let's go with our buddies. At Chatting Average, right? Like, Chatting Average is a we've all at least listened to 30 seconds of the show.
I listened to 40 seconds when Donahue was on. Yeah.
Okay. Before I fell asleep. But that being said, like, what? Like, if so, you had to come up with a band, okay. who is Chatting Average for you?
Okay, so I get like just kind of one answer, one quick answer. Okay, off.
And we can discuss a little okay. bit, like if we need to like nail it down. Yeah.
This sounds like I'm making fun of them, but I'm not. But to me, it's the Bare Naked Ladies because it's just like happy fun.
We're so close. We're so close.
It's just
close.
Happy and fun.
You know
it's
what
not
I was
offensive.
Say?
It's
you
just it's just
say?
Happy and fun.
I'm very
it's,
close.
It's,
I was on. I was gonna say Incubus.
Okay.
Because the same. I was thinking the exact same. I mean, like those two could pass for like sisters.
I mean, they're kind of different, right? But I mean, yeah. But kind of. You know, not.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls.
That's a there great one.
Goo Goo Dolls. There we go.
Yeah.
What about you, JT? Like, feel free to be different here. You don't have to agree with Josh and I.
I would say that Chatting Average is the band Fozzy because Fozzy is fronted by a professional wrestler, and I'm pretty sure that Chatting Average, one half of them is actually the Big Boss Man.
Do you know I was very disappointed to find out he's not actually the Big Boss Man? Like I thought he was actually him for a while when he first joined Twitter. I was like, oh
yeah,
I thought he actually
yeah,
liked
I met him. Yeah, I met him at Chop Fest, and I was like, wait, you're not Ray Traylor? Come on, that's not fun.
Yeah, you're not like 85 and unable to walk anymore.
That's sad. Yeah, he's dead. So,
oh, is he totally dead now?
I
wasn't
Big Boss Man's totally dead.
I'm not surprised. Okay,
he made it to 40 though. I think he was 40.
So I'm going to throw in a few blogs here as well, fellas, because I feel like, you know, they deserve their shot at the table as well. You know, so I don't want to be disrespectful and try to leave too many people. I there's no way we would cover everyone because every Braves blog and podcast out there would be like a 10-hour show. But let's go with the old faithful here, fellas. Tomahawk Tank. Uh-huh. They carried us when we first started. Josh, you wrote there.
Yeah.
I even think I got an article published. Boggy's had an article published from Tomahawk Take. Our buddy Dan wrote tons of stuff from Tomahawk Take. Shout out to Dan. He's like a homie. He's been with us from the beginning, you know. He's
forever.
Loved us, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dan Horton. Cool dude. In the Army, worked his butt off. Cool guy. Tomahawk Take, though, as a band / singer, what you got? Let me think for a minute. I don't want to jump to any conclusions here. They got to be somebody that's kind of average, but produced a lot of pretty decent stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where I think that's the right vein. JT, you got any thoughts here?
To me, you know what? To me, Tomahawk Take is Aaron Tippin. They're always going to be there for you, bud. You know?
Well, I mean, I'm okay with solo shots.
He said / artist. Okay. So, you know, they produce some hits, not a lot of hits, okay? They're not the most advanced, but they're not
pretty
the
good.
Least
and you don't
advanced.
Mind they keep you up on it.
Alan Carpenter is a saint. and they're just there for you. They'll have your back if you're broken down on the side of the road.
I might be shooting a little high here, but I kind of feel like they're kind of a Clint Black. They're probably not as good as you remember them being, but they've had some real bangers along the way. You know,
I like that.
I thought Clint Black was going to be like George Strait level at one point, and he never quite got there. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. George Strait's had like 50 number one hits. So.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. I thought Clint Black was headed there, though, when I was 15. You know, like that was what I thought.
I think Clint Black is better than people think he was.
Okay. And that's probably true about Tom Holtek.
Most underrated Aaron Tippin song is Blue Angel by far. That song rocks.
Blue Angel.
Yes. The yodeling?
The music video video is great, too. Yeah,
great like yodeler.
Outside a movie theater, sad and singing.
Angel. The way he says angel in that song gets me. Angel.
I would say Gin Blossoms because.
Okay.
Gin Blossoms are. Wow. Okay. You're like, oh, I kind of remember them. And then you listen to their greatest hits and you're like, oh, I knew like six of these 12 songs. Like, they made more better stuff than I thought they did. Yeah. Like, if you go back and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. You may think of one song, but then if you listen to them, you're like, oh, wait. These. Like four or five songs all had major radio play in the mid-90s. Yeah. Also, they have a great name because Gin Blossoms is like, you know, when you drink a lot of booze and your nose gets red, those little capillaries, the alcohol causes the capillaries in your nose to burst. Those are called Gin Blossoms.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I never knew that.
You know another band that we could throw out there as being Tomahawk Take a little bit? I don't know. It might be a little too high quality, but... The Birds. And the reason I say The Birds is because tons of people from The Birds went on to be in other bands. And Tomahawk Take kind of had that whole thing where, like, you know, they were a good core, and then all those people went on to actually become super famous in other bands, not as The Birds.
Right.
Like, nobody remembers The Birds.
Yeah. they turned a lot of people onto Nakahoma Nation.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, like, they're just a good... Tomahawk Take's just a good time. Just a good time. There's not a lot of drama.
You shouldn't believe everything you read there, but you should. I mean, you should read it from time to time. And if you need to catch up on the news, it's a good place to kind of catch up on the news.
Yeah. It is.
All right.
Maybe there's Huey Lewis in the news.
Ah, there you go. Speaking of Huey Lewis in the news, I think that might be a good segue to our next one. The High and Inside podcast, fellas. How are you feeling about the High and Inside, fellas?
High and Inside. Chris Gaines. Super creepy. You don't really know what their purpose is. You know, is he trying to be a troll and funny, or is he being serious? I don't know. I don't understand. You know what I mean? I never listened to Chris Gaines. I never listened to High and Inside. So that's that's something they have in common there, you know? So yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Gaines
would have made more sense if the movie had actually gotten made. But they had a movie that was supposed to be going along with the album. And so we only got like half the thing, you know?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Did you know Garth Brooks hosted Saturday Night Live and the musical act was Chris Gaines? This is a real thing that happened.
I didn't know that.
This is the actual thing that happened. How insane is that?
That's pretty insane. How insane was Garth Brooks at that time? Like, what kind of drugs do you think he was on? I'm just curious.
Must have been something good.
Also, High and Inside, was that like supposed to be a play on words, like they were smoking, like high and inside? I don't know. I don't think it was.
I don't think so.
They missed a real opportunity. It would have been is what I'm thinking. You know, like that would be a great podcast, to be honest. Like two guys that love the Braves smoking some really strong weed and recording a podcast. Like
before Dank joined Antifa, if Dank and JT did that concept,
No. Somebody that's uptight that would work great with. Dank and Doc Herbert. Somebody that's like complete crazy.
That would work out.
But if you got him, like he's way too uptight and wound too tight in normal, but when he smokes the ganja, he would probably be amazing.
That would be a good Fish would be a good one for that band because people that listen to Fish are usually high and they're usually inside.
Right.
I would say that's true. High and Inside, Mr. Joel Walker, I would say Stryper, because that is his favorite band, and Stryper is the greatest Christian hair metal band of all time. They actually have an album called To Hell with the Devil.
Yes, it's a great song.
Yes.
I like the song.
Yes.
Were they also the only Christian hair band of all time?
Stryper is an acronym.
Okay.
Who else is there, Ken?
Mortification. But they were okay. That's the name of the band. Yeah, you check it out sometime. It's scary. It's probably not hair band, it's more like death metal. But
there was another one. They were kind
Petra?
Of not.
Are you going to go Petra?
Nope. No. Okay. Well, I forgot about Petra. They were Christian.
Petra was hard.
I forgot
they were
about
hardcore
Petra.
Rock. Like
there was another one called Novella.
Did you know that Stryper stands for Salvation Through Redemption, Yielding Peace, Encouragement, and Righteousness?
No, I did not.
So there you go.
No idea.
I liked Petra back in the day, man. Petra was they were rocking
were they
at the
hair,
time.
Was Petra,
nobody else
Petra
was doing
hair metal though. Was Petra hair like
their
Stryper
first
was,
album was close. The
Stryper
first
was
album.
Late 80s big hair yeah. spray hair metal.
Petra was like let us dabble in Seattle grunge. Like
yeah.
Our toe is in Seattle grunge without really being there, you know. But yeah. Let's get
Christian grunge slapped a little bit. The Dakota Motor Company. They were
let me
banging.
Throw out another one here, fellas. 755 the battery slash the I think they have a podcast as well. Like I mean, I think they have a blog as well. This is the fellas that aren't okay. real big fans of you, Josh. This is not David O'Brien's podcast.
They made a podcast
they
about
did.
Me.
They did
actually. About me being a racist. That. And I shared it. I shared it, actually.
There was one really fellow got real mad at you because you said if people were feeling depressed, they should get up and go get a haircut. I remember that. Like, he got real mad about that.
Yeah, he cussed me out and stuff because I said, and I wasn't even talking to him
weird.
That day. I just,
it was weird.
I said,
it was very strange.
Because I had gotten a haircut and I had this weird thought, like, you know what? Like, getting a haircut makes you feel good. If you're depressed, get a haircut. And he got mad at that.
I feel like I'm trying to, like, figure out what kind of band they are. And I've thought about this a lot, and I was trying to think, you know, what somebody would relate to. But you know what band they are? They are the band that was at your high school that tried to be Korn. Do you remember that band that thought they were going to be Korn, except they couldn't play and they couldn't sing, and all they could do was rage about other people?
Yeah. I've got one. Can I piggyback on that since we're kind of doing like kind of almost fictional bands with them because they suck so bad. I would go. They're in a high school band called the Insane Frown Posse,
okay.
And they wear JNCOs,
and they paint their faces black with white on it instead of like it's like the inverse of the Insane Clown Posse, right? I got you.
Yeah. And they're all anonymous, as they are online.
What about you, JT? Do you have any comments on this one?
I was going to say that they would be the band L.A. Guns.
It was
a band from the Sunset Strip. But then turns out they're not even the most famous Guns in Los Angeles when Guns N' Roses came around, since they're not even the best 755 podcast that there is around. But I think the more fitting band would be Garbage.
Oh, nice. Nice. Just flat out laying it out there. Okay. Wow. Here we go. All right. Getting into some spicy territory here. Fellas, Outfield Fly Rule with Andy Harris and Brent Blackwell. We're specifically speaking to the blog and maybe some
all right,
of
I know one. I
and
know
maybe
it.
Some of Kritzberg and them's stuff. Yeah.
Okay, for me it's REM. Kind of nerdy but cool. Nerdy but cool. They're gonna have your back if a guy from the Insane Frown Posse calls you a racist, like they'll be like, screw those guys.
I'll
love you, man.
I'll tell you, I was going the same vein. Not quite as cool as REM. I was gonna go with the band from Revenge of the Nerds. You know, where they like play keyboard and it's got
I don't know
Dexter.
What that is. I don't
never
I don't
seen
know
Revenge of the Nerds. Oh my gosh. It's got the black guy that does like all the vocal sounds. JT, you've seen Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
I know, right?
It's got John Goodman, Jefferson from Married with Children is in it.
Yeah. You know which band I'm talking about, right? Like, you're
Michael
very
Winslow
aware.
Is the guy you're talking about from. Yeah.
No, he's not Michael Winslow. He just looks like Michael Winslow. Oh, it's not okay. Actually him. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. What podcast are we talking about? I'm so confused now.
Hmm. We're talking about Andy and Matt's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I Feel Fly Rule.
And their blog. Their blog's good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a like an actual Braves fan that listens to this reluctantly, and like Braves stuff,
it's so nerdy, but it's honest very cool, and it's done in a cool way. It's so nerdy, it's cool. Like,
honestly, you apart from the pros like DOB and McAlpin and Grant, who you need to all follow because that stuff is like pro. There's below that, there's the unpaid, blogger podcast arena. Outfield Fly Rule is the only one worth a shit.
I don't know if it's the only one, but it's good. I mean, like, it's one of the ones that's solid.
Well, I guess and Tomahawk Take, but Tomahawk Take is more laid back and fun. Outfield Fly Rule is really nerdy.
That's okay.
They need that. But they're not what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Like, they're not so numbers driven that they can't have a real conversation about baseball.
They seek to inform.
You're right.
They're nerdy, but they seek to inform you with their facts and their stats and their nerdiness.
Feel like they're beating me over the head with the numbers.
They're not
trying
to debate you over something. They're just, providing information. I'd say Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, because completely solid work all throughout. Like, who doesn't enjoy? Like, if you're on a road trip with somebody and you're like flipping through, imagine this is like 2004, so you're flipping through the CD case. And you're like, Tom Petty. Right. Everybody likes Tom Petty. So you pop in Tom Petty. And, like, everyone has a good time. Because everyone's like, Like, Greatest Hits was, like, 22 tracks or something like that. And, like, 21 of them were, like, awesome songs that you knew front to back.
Yeah. Speaking of that kind, let's back up. Because I think there is one podcast that deserves some reverence, even though it's off the air now. And that's Atlanta Baseball Talk. The guys have been around for, like, 10 years. And I will just flat out come out. I feel like I have the exact band for this. So you guys correct me if I'm wrong. But I feel like America is the band for Atlanta Baseball Talk. Easy listening, laid back, a little eclectic from time to time, but for the most part, just good meat and potatoes, a little rock and roll.
To me, it's Leftover Salmon.
I don't know Leftover Salmon.
Yeah, just kind of dad bluegrass. Stuff. Yeah. I mean that affectionately.
I didn't sense any maliciousness there. Yeah.
Like some dads in their Chacos and socks and their Subarus on a Thursday night at Eddie's Attic drinking some Fat Tire because they got a hall pass from the wife.
That sounds like the Atlanta Baseball Talk, guys. For sure.
Yeah, I'd say Elvis Costello and the Attractions. Like, nice. I want to rock.
That's a good one.
Nice.
But, like, I'm a 45-year-old white man in Atlanta. I'm going to rock. I mean? Like, but I still want to rock. Original.
But you're comfortable with being the 45-year-old man from Atlanta. Like, you're not trying to be something else.
Totally.
And Elvis Costello.
You're at Manuel's Tavern.
He's a really cool guy. You know what I mean? Just, like, one of the coolest original characters in rock and roll. Who's also like a lot better than you think. Like, Elvis Costello kind of rocks. So
All right,
he does.
All right, here we go, fellas. Our buddy Ryan Cothran has a new podcast out called Three Flags Flying. I've never actually listened to it. I just know the people involved with it. I know that it is Ryan Cothran and Brent Blackwell, and there was someone else, but I think they stopped recording with them. I don't know. Maybe it was Stephen Tolbert. I don't remember. Anyway, somebody else was with them. But Three Flags Flying. What's the best band here? I mean, like, I'm just trying to, like, nail this down. Because, look, we give Ryan a lot of crap, but I actually kind of like Ryan. You know, I mean, like, he takes it well at the end of the day.
He does. Ryan's interesting in that he's such a doofus, but he's such a likable doofus. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I like Ryan too, but then, like, he gets all in his feels about somebody stealing his hammer logo. It's like, Ryan, shut up. Like, nobody cares.
You know who this brings me back to? And maybe this is a little bit of an overreach, but I feel like they're the Who. Like, Who? Like, also, like, you know, you got one guy that's really good, plays the guitar a lot, and then you got a guy that screams a lot. And then you got a crazy guy on the drums from time to time. That's the Who, you know? Yeah. I mean, that kind of feels like three flags, fine.
Yeah. Hmm. To that me, might be a little, to little me, they're. I'm gonna go with the early 2000s, stellar, huge rock country band Trick Pony. Because no one is going to remember who they are.
I'll tell you the other thing is Ryan is a one-trick pony. He wants the same thing over and over and over. Trade Ender, get Perfar, and that's pretty much the end of Ryan. Yeah. Yep. I mean, like.
That's all he's got.
But, man, he's going to ride that horse in the ground. Yeah, I'm just. That pony is going to ride into the ground. We love you, Ryan.
Exactly.
And for the record, fellas, this is fun. If you get offended over us, like, naming a band after your podcast, please, please, please just block us. It'll be fine. Your life is going to go on.
You should have blocked me a long time
ago. You got something here for Ryan?
Yeah, I would say they're like Metallica, because I'm pretty sure Ryan Cothran is going to sue anybody who steals from his intellectual qualities. I like Lars Ulrich. Tried to sue a bunch of 13-year-old boys for downloading Enter Sandman in 2000.
There you go.
Oh, God, JT.
Oh, God.
I was not ready for that. I wasn't ready.
Here we go. That was good. All right. Let's see. I'm trying to avoid like the professional podcasts that are either produced by the Braves or like kind of have a hand from a professional. Yeah. So I'm not talking about DOB. I'm not talking about Grant. I'm not talking about like behind the Braves. All those are good, but those are that's kind of like professional paid to stuff. These other people aren't getting paid to do it. So let's talk about one of the newer ones, Hitting Dingers with Corey and Neil Shalit and some of their buddies. I've never actually listened to it. I just know the fellas, right? And I'm gonna go with this one, and that is, I think it's the Stone Temple Pilots, and here's why is because, I think Corey gets drunk once a week and deletes his entire Twitter profile, so you know nothing about his past. So like you know because he's got a new job, and that feels like the Stone Temple Pilots. Like the lead front man might show up, he might be totally drunk and not remember the entire podcast, but like he doesn't remember the past. He's a new creation, and he has a new Twitter with worship pictures on it.
I'm going Switchfoot, because you can't tell if he's a worship leader or a Braves blogger or a political commentator. You don't really know what's going on with him.
If you're going that route, like
you. But POD was actually talented.
Nice. Is there any Mormon bands? Because I feel like that could work too. I'm just saying.
Yeah. What's that band called that had
the big?
I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Yeah, the Killers.
That's the Killers. Band, they're Mormon.
Like yeah, they're talented.
Yeah, they're actually kind of good.
Yeah. JT, you got something far away here.
You know, I'm trying to think. Josh really stole mine because I was going to go Switchfoot because they're, because they rock. Man, I don't know. Let me say the new incarnation of Newsboys with Michael Tate.
Oh, nice, nice.
Okay. Not the old Newsboys because they're lame.
Would Neil be Tate, like the Michael?
And then you know it's just.
They finally got a brown guy.
I didn't even think about that.
Every so often, they just play in the background. They just start playing. We're just two honks in the background. Like it just it's like a throwback reference. You know,
like I'm profiling here. Cool. No, but I want something that's uber Christian, like more so than Switchfoot. Because like Switchfoot, especially like later Switchfoot, early Switchfoot was pretty.
Like you'd still have a beer with Switchfoot.
I don't think you'd have a beer with the Newsboys.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't know if Corey would have a beer with me.
They might be third eye blind though, because like you know that's kind of
cool.
Hindu, you know. And I thought Neil might bring that side of things to the party, you know. So like I don't know. I'm just trying to think out loud here, you know.
No doubt had a bassist that was Hindu.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I don't think Neil's. I don't know. Maybe he is Hindu. I'm not sure.
I don't know. He's Indian. He comes from Indian culture, not Native American.
Neil likes cricket, and I really want to like meet up with Neil and watch a cricket match and have a beer and like, tell me about cricket because
I keep saying I want to have a beer with Neil, and we never hook up when I'm in Chattanooga. Yeah. But Neil's cool.
Neil is one of the cooler leftists that I've known.
Maybe they're Rush, because I'm pretty sure that the lead singer, Corey, is Canadian or something, and the best part of the band is a guy named Neil.
There you go.
So maybe we're Rush.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. Time to start hitting some of the big boys, all right? The Platinum Sombrero with our buddy Doc Herbert and the one and only Dylan Short. Dylan Short. Who you got there, fellas? A lot of thinking going on with this one. A lot of people thinking about things. I can see it.
I'm trying to think of a duo, because they are a duo, I guess. So,
like Casey and JoJo, you know, like I don't know.
Can I just say, like, Carmen? Carmen, early '90s.
Carmen that way, buddy. Like, I like Carmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like Carmen?
Yeah. I grew up on Carmen, man.
I'm just trying to think, like, the most like annoying just. Talentless.
Oh, come on. They're not talentless. They're just annoying. Okay.
I don't know. Carmen's all I got on that one. I mean, JT's Googling something over there.
Checking Facebook.
He's about to drop a bomb. A bomb.
You know what? I figured it out, fellas. I know who I'm going to go with on this. I think who? They're the New Kids on the Block, because they blocked me. Dylan blocked me, and
Dylan did not block me,
but Doc has blocked me and has never unblocked me. I'm still not really sure why I got
New
blocked.
Kids on the Block button.
I think it was from defending you. I also think both of them would take their shirts off in a heartbeat just because they thought they could, even though they know they shouldn't. You know, like it's I don't know.
Yeah,
at least that's the way it kind of feels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else? To be fair.
I forgot they blocked.
To be fair,
you.
They have a pretty decent podcast. Like when Dylan's talking and Doc's kind of taking it easy.
I would say,
but
that
then
they
like
are,
Doc needs to shut Dylan up sometimes too. So like I don't know.
They are when Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards sang "That Lovin' Feelin'" in the movie Top Gun. And here's why, because I'm pretty sure that Dylan is a Scientologist and Anthony Edwards pretended to be a doctor for 7 years on ER.
How do you go there? How do you do that?
Because Goose.
It's incredible.
He was Goose. And,
yeah.
That's incredible.
So while we're there, I guess we should go ahead and hit this one as well. Dylan's daily Locked On Braves podcast, where it's just Dylan by himself. I'm just going to say it. Like, if they're New Kids on the Block, then this is Marky Mark. Like, Dylan's full on Marky Mark.
I'm going to say Hunter Hayes.
Well, except Hunter Hayes is wanted.
He's like this baby, thinks he's cool, but he's just Hunter Hayes.
You know what? Let me revise my choice. Dylan Sam.
Okay.
I mean, full on. Like he's in his vein, but he's doing something weird that doesn't make sense to the vein he's in. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like talk, country music.
Where you just talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got this new country record out. I talk 80% of it. Like, what?
To be fair, Johnny Cash pulled it off great. Sam Hunt, not so much, you know.
Oh, my God. I just pictured, like, Johnny Cash doing Sam Hunt songs, and it might be the funniest thing ever. Like,
it might be really awesome.
If we could somehow technologically take Johnny Cash's voice from, like, the last albums, where it was all raspy and, like, barely there, and have that, but he's singing the lyrics to Take Your Time by Sam Hunt.
I saw you across the room.
Where it's just like, right, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Then it's just an 80-year-old man creeping girls out at the bar is basically what you're getting out of it.
Okay. All right. That's enough picking on Dylan. Fellas, here we go. Mansplain baseball elsewhere.
God.
I put a lot of thought into this one. I'm gonna reserve my own thoughts until you guys share your. Josh, are you like tearing up your microphone right now?
Yeah, it was kind of okay. Falling off my thing over here. Mansplain baseball elsewhere. Probably. Let me think here. Who would they be?
All right. While you're thinking, I'm going to go ahead and throw mine out there. I'm going to go with the okay. Roaches, which is a cover band of the Beatles, because all their material is stolen from us.
I was thinking of an act that ripped off another act, and that's perfect. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Yeah, they have no original content.
To be fair, they are better at showing off the giant boobs than we are. Like we are giant boobs, but they're better at showing them off.
Yeah,
Josh was never willing to dye his hair blue,
he would.
Right.
If Josh's
or say the F word.
If Josh's music career had taken off, we'd totally be looking at
Josh.
Blue hair.
But hang on, Josh. You did Josh say the F word every third word when we. During a season of this show,
was it that bad?
It didn't miss it by much.
Pretty bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't realize how annoying that is until I heard them. I'm like, man, that is annoying.
Yeah, I tried to watch. I think Ashlyn had a video this week talking about how bad Tuesday was.
You just sound ignorant.
And she started trying to talk about how bad Tuesday was, and I got like three words into it, and she said, "Fuck," and I was like, okay. I'm done.
Like, I don't even have a problem with that word. Like, I love that word, but it's like, it just sounds, I don't even know how to articulate it.
Gratuitous.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like going to a strip club after you actually have a girlfriend / wife, husband, right? Like, you're kind of like,
Yeah,
it's there, but. I don't know. That's the way it feels. Like, you know, I don't know. Not that I've ever actually been to a strip club since I've been married.
There's a band up here that has been playing for like 15 years, and they're like this bar band, and some every now and then they'll open up for like if somebody kind of that used to be sort of famous will come to town or come to Rome, like this is always the band that opens up. It's the Georgia Blues Brothers. And they cover the Blues Brothers, and they're super obnoxious. They're kind of trashy. They're not that good. They cuss a little bit. They might be closer to JT Sheamus. Yeah, they, you know what? We'll go with yours. The Roaches.
They're Beatles.
The Roaches. Band. The Roaches. Yeah,
and they're a pretty good cover band. Like, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just a cover band. Yeah.
Right.
All
right.
So
I would say I'd say Steelers Wheel, because when you listen to Steelers Wheel, they have one song, and everybody goes, "I thought this is Bob Dylan. Is this not Bob Dylan?" You're like, "No, this is Steelers Wheel. They just sound like Bob Dylan, but it's not Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's great." That's kind of what I feel like.
Is that stuck in the middle with you? Is that
stuck in the middle with you? Yeah, stuck in the middle with you. But like, if you're on Napster in 1998, everybody on Napster would get it wrong, and they're like, "Bob Dylan, stuck in the middle with you." I'm like, "That's not Bob Dylan. That's Steelers Wheel." But I just kept.
But it
kidding.
Does sound like Bob Dylan. It does.
It
sound
does
like
sound
Bob
a lot like Bob. Sounds a lot like Bob Dylan. No, I'm kidding. I got really mad at Ashlyn, and I had to apologize to her because I felt bad and I internalized all of it, and it made me angry, and she didn't deserve that. So we're all good. We're just joshing.
They probably do have a really good podcast. I literally can't get past the cussing constantly. It's just not my thing. So
and if I say like if you find out from this that I don't listen to your podcast, don't take it personally. I have a fourth kid on the way. I have no time to listen to
podcasts. Yeah, I don't listen to podcasts either.
I don't have time in the day. I just
actually JT's full of shit. He listens to like 10 sports podcasts. He doesn't like your podcast.
I listen to like Paul Feinbaum and Bill Shanks. It's a sports genius, by the way, Bill Shanks. And that's about it.
So just take it this way. JT thinks Bill Shanks is better than your podcast. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to know.
I like Bill. Okay, everybody gets Bill a hard time. I like Bill. I enjoy Bill. I've met Bill. I know Bill. I have a good time with Bill. I like Bill. Personally, like, he's a cool guy. Bill a brick.
What about Easy Out podcast with Braves Cape? Some people listening like now are like, holy crap, I didn't know all these podcasts existed.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
There's a lot of them, man.
Exposure to them.
I like Sarah. Sarah's awesome. So,
you know
Sarah,
who I got
Sarah's
for this?
Cool.
Toby.
Super
Keith.
Cool.
Good songs.
Okay, okay.
At the end of the day, the music's really not that good when you just listen to it for a very, very long time. But you'll sing along. Like, you'll sing along and you'll enjoy it. And it's like, but then you'll get to the end and you'll be like, wait, did Toby Keith really just try to convince me that two twin sisters tried to get him to sleep with them on the same night together and that he was down for that? I don't believe that. Like, that's kind of, you know, I mean, that's right. Like,
I'm going to go with Tribe Called Quest.
Hey,
I like a Tribe Called Quest.
I like Tribe Called Quest. It's a really good.
I do too. I don't know what's going on half the time. But I like
okay. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I like him too. I would say Paula Abdul, because Sarah's slightly foxy in the Paula Abdul way. And MC Scat Cat would be Kate.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, opposites attract. If you remember, if you're old enough, and I don't know if you guys were children of MTV like I was. Like, my parents didn't care. So they're like, here, watch MTV. And I'm like, four. And this is why I'm weird. Like, the music video for Opposites Attract, Paula Abdul and MC Scat Cat, was one of the coolest music videos ever. And it was just awesome. So I don't know why that popped in my head, but that fits.
Oh.
Nice. Fellas, let's see. Walk Off Walk. With Tommy Poe and Stephen Colbert. They're not big fans of ours. And I know Tommy's not a big fan of ours, for sure. He didn't like his baseball takes being pissed on by Josh. Sorry,
Tommy. But your baseball takes suck.
You know, I'm going to go with this, Josh.
Okay.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, but they were successful.
Well, I mean, all these bands are. None of these podcasts are. So, I mean, we can't really count that.
Okay. Man, this is a tough one.
The reason I'm going to go Simon with Garfunkel is because they're playing the same tune from 40 years ago, and you only know them for one song. You know, like, at the end of the day,
Bridge
Over Troubled Water and, like, Turn, what is it?
That's
that
the
song?
Birds.
Not Turn. What's that other
birds.
Song? It's
Bridge Over Troubled Water?
Brown. Like, is that...
Wait, Mrs. Robinson? Hold on. The Boxer, they had Mrs. Robinson. They had, what's the one you... Bridge Over Troubled Water. True, they had, there's a few of them.
But still, it's... You feel like you should smoke...
I like Paul Simon's solo better than... Simon Garfunkel. Paul Simon solo stuff.
Sorry, Josh, I cut you off. You were about to say what you were thinking.
Oh, you're fine. No. I'm having a hard time with this one because they're so... I'm just trying to think of something kind of emo, you know, maybe. I don't know. I wanted to say Bon Iver, maybe a little bit.
Is it Bon Iver? Is it not Bon Iver? Because I've said Bon Iver for 10 years.
Bon Iver?
Yeah, it's Bon Iver.
Is it Bon Iver?
I've always heard Bon Iver.
I think it's.
I've just always said Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
And I've heard half of that one
Iver.
Song. That's all.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
But I still know that guy's from Appleton, Wisconsin. For some reason, I know that. I don't know why I know that.
Okay. All right.
I would say they are Coldplay, because I don't think I'd have a good time watching a baseball game with Coldplay. And I also don't think I'd have a good time watching a baseball game with those two guys.
Hey, but Chris Martin is a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, he is. But I just can't imagine, like...
That's kind of why I picked Bon Iver, because I can't imagine,
Bon
like, having a good
so
time
Bon Iver.
With Bon Iver. And
I'm probably saying it wrong. I've just always
like,
heard Bon Iver.
Like, Josh, like, you guys are into music, and they were like... You know, you guys are music fans.
If Tommy
was like, hey, man, the piano player or the keyboardist for Coldplay is at my house right now. Do you guys want to come meet him? You'd probably be like, no, not really.
Josh, that's how I feel about it. Like every one of these podcast in the tweet so they can come and listen to our reviews.
Also, you know who else remind me of?
If Tommy's listening, though, Tommy has told several people on the Twitters that, like, that one of the reasons he doesn't like me is because he apparently I stood him up or something at a Danville Braves game. That is not true. Or, like, he invited me to go to a game or something, and we had a tentative date or something. It's a long story, but what had happened was I had a rough couple months, and I couldn't afford to go, and so I just kind of ghosted him because I didn't have any money, and then he wrote me off.
Well, I'll Venmo you money for a Danville Braves game if you ever need it, Josh.
I had a rough couple months a few years ago.
I had a rough couple months for a few years. Yeah. You know what else would be a good band for walk off walk for Tommy and Steven? Pussy Riot.
We'll leave it at that.
That would be a good one. They did change
Russian politics, you know.
Like, I have no idea who that band is, but you texted it to us, Kenny. I just wanted to say it because it seems.
Oh, funny. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I have no idea who are they. I don't even know.
They were a punk rock band that got arrested in Russia for being lesbians or something, apparently. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
But, I mean, it's kind of fitting unlike that you went Tommy, here, I'm just saying.
But unlike Tommy Poe, they actually seem like they're fun and getting laid.
Let's see. Tommy's got kids, though. I think he's a good dad. But anyway, sorry. We just don't like your baseball takes, Tommy. Let's see. And we're down to just one. Well, I guess it's two, but it's still one. And that is Talking Chop and Road to Atlanta. And
okay.
You know, I've been thinking about this one, and I don't know. Well, let me ask you, fellas. Do you have anyone off the top of your heads?
I do.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the band Perry.
Okay. Why is that?
They're the gayest band I could think of. And I think those two brothers, like, touch each other's peckers, and I'm pretty sure that Scott Coleman and Eric Cole touch their peckers together.
No, Eric would block him. Eric's blocked everyone ever. Yeah,
you block think so? Doc.
You think? You think Eric would block?
No,
Scott?
I think. Woo! That went right over Josh's head.
Doc, oh, wow, that did. Your penis inside the foreskin of another penis.
We don't need an explanation, JT. No explanation required.
I was just explaining it to him.
Hey, whoa, virgin ears. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, docking is.
It's cutting off a sheepstone.
Speaking of, Josh, you like Brothers Osborne, right?
I actually do.
You know, he came out of the closet today.
You're not
right?
going to give him. Yeah. Wait, did they really?
Just
both of them?
I don't know. I've never listened
together?
To my life, but
together or like just
no, like just together? Like one of the guys. One of the guys came out as gay today.
Okay, well, that's
fine. I guess his name is Osborne.
I wonder if it's the lead singer. Oh, now like, I gotta look. I know I'm
Google
obsessed
it.
With
I don't
this.
Know.
Now.
I thought it was interesting because you'd mentioned you like that band, and I've never heard of them. But I was like, oh, Josh thinks those guys. I wonder if he knows.
I love that band. They're probably my favorite country band.
I was trying to think what band. Okay, yeah. They're probably, I'm trying to think if this is the best example or not. They're probably like BTS. Are you?
What is that?
BTS,
what's a BTS?
Is like that Japanese band that is a boy band, and they dance, and they sing, and all the little Japanese girls fall in love with them. Do you know what I'm talking about? And like they have like a whole BTS army.
Oh, yeah.
They have like a BTS army on Twitter.
So my wife, she teaches middle schoolers online or something, and every now and then she'll use me to get them to do tests well. And she's like, hey, if you guys pass this test, Mr. Brown will play a song for you, the most requested song. And so they request all these songs, and then I have to play the most requested song, and one of them was a BTS song.
And they're like a little boy band, and the reason I say that is because they have no actual talent in singing. It's just all choreographed hype, and all their little fanboys run around after them. If you can't tell, we're not big fans of Talking Chop because they're absolute total dicks. We tried to be really nice to him at the beginning of our creation, not combination. And if it was up to us, we would ask all of our listeners to never listen to them ever again because they're absolute terrible human beings.
Yeah, they're pretty trash.
They've
yeah.
tried to ruin our lives. They've tried to get us fired from our jobs. Yeah, I mean, seriously, they like came after us. And to this day, I'm not really sure why Eric Cole blocked us. Like, he got mad, I think, because Josh retweeted his own like a video of a Talking Chop podcast clip with no commentary.
Yeah, I mean, I made fun of their Nick Markakis
and Andrew Inciarte stuff. Yeah, but it was all baseball stuff, so I don't really get it. A lot of these guys really don't like us. I'm not real sure why. I think they just are hateful, terrible people. And if it was up to us, we would suggest you never listen to Talk Chop ever again. And they're jealous of everyone that's ever been employed by the Braves, and they like to try to piss on David O'Brien because they wish they had his job, and none of them are actually good enough to get it. So there you go. Road to Atlanta, however, by Wig Rob is actually pretty good if you like prospect stuff.
Is that the minor league one?
Focus just on prospect.
Like the prospect one.
He's pretty good on there. Like I like Rob. Okay. Never had a problem with you, but
I'm gonna say Brothers Osborne.
So they came out. Yeah. Okay. There you go. If you're a Talking Chop fan, hey, more power to you. We're just not big fans. So, there you go. Well, that's JT, do you have one here for? I'm about to bypass your opportunity.
My initial thought was the Counting Crows because somehow that dreadlocked idiot of a lead singer dated both Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. And I'm mildly surprised whenever somebody like Scott Coleman gets invited to do anything. I'm like, how does this idiot, how does anybody listen to him? Like, how did the dummy who came up with Mr. Jones end up banging Jennifer Aniston in her prime, by the way, like 1994 Jennifer Aniston. Like, how did this guy succeed at life? And that's kind of how I feel with, like, when I see Scott Coleman and things. I'm like, how did this guy, this doofus, succeed and get away with anything? But mainly, I don't know, man. I don't have any feelings for them. I'd say something mean and say I wish they were like Nirvana, but, you know.
They're not even that good. So yeah, that's gonna do it for our interview, our ranking of Braves bloggers. A lot of you have asked for this for a very long time, so rather than do them like 1, 2, 3, 4, we felt like this was a more accurate version.
Has anyone actually asked for this, Ken, or did you?
Yeah, I had a lot of people ask for this. Like, we should rank Braves blogs and bloggers. our spiritual advisor sent asked me this too. Idea this week. Yeah. Not exactly this, but he wanted us to try to rank podcasters. And I was like, you realize that's dangerous, right? And he's like, you should do it. And I was like,
okay, number one is probably Joe Rogan. He's the best podcaster in the world.
Yeah, he was talking about Braves.
Oh, there's no look. I mean, there's so many of them that, like, if I want to know if there's someone out there that, like, genuinely listens to all the Braves podcasts. Like, I'm sure there's somebody.
I think some of them that I see on Twitter listen to all of them.
You know, the time I was on Platinum Sombrero,
that's a lot. That's
they crazy. Had fans get really mad because we didn't talk about baseball the entire time. That's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, fellas, change gears. I feel like we should talk about this. Rest in peace, Dustin Diamond. Screech.
Man. What a baller.
The most shocking thing about Dustin Diamond dying was not that he was 44. It's that it was lung cancer, not drugs, that killed him. Because I would have 100% bet sad, you dude. It was drugs. Like, I would 100% like...
Yeah, I did. Yeah. When I saw the news, I just assumed it was drugs. Same. You know what I mean? Because he was kind of a wild guy.
He had a phase there where he was totally off the charts wild. He became a porn star for a little while, I think.
He had a sex tape. He had a prog rock band called Salty the Pocket Knife. He did a sex tape. He stabbed a guy. He went to jail for stabbing a guy in a bar fight somewhere in Wisconsin. I met him and he's a total jerk. I didn't like Screech at all when I met him. He was totally gay. I hated him.
JT's mad at everybody. Yeah.
No, I'm not mad at him. He was just a jerk. He was just
said you met everyone. Yeah, I didn't say you were mad.
No, I just I've met everyone. I thought you said I'm mad at everyone.
No. You've met everyone.
Yeah. I haven't met a lot. I want to meet, I'd much rather have met Zach Morris than Screech. But.
So, to be fair, don't miss out on the next evolution of Josh, Ken, and JT, where we all start our own progressive rock bands, and some of us end up in jail for stabbing someone. Because I mean, there's a better than 50% chance that both those things happen at some point.
Yeah, for one and Ken's sex tape. So yeah. Look forward to that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's,
I'll subscribe.
Don't miss out. I'm not gonna go there. I thought about going there, but I'm just gonna leave that one alone.
He actually offered. He was like, "Have y'all seen it? Like Screech. This is Screech now." He actually said that to me and the group of people I was standing with. Have you seen my sex tape? And we're all like, "No," because it was like 2007. Like you didn't have like sex tapes on the internet and everything. Like, and he kind of hinted like, "Do you want to?" And we're like, "No," but now I kind of like wish I had. In a weird way, since he's no longer with us.
Wait, why? What?
I don't know. You know what? If someone says, "Hey, man, you want to see this video of this guy getting hit by a train?" Like immediately, you're like, "No, I don't want to see that." But there's a part of you that's like, "Okay, I kind of want to know what that looks like."
I've never had that thought.
Never.
Oh come
Dustin
on,
Dustin Diamond. Tell me this, fellas. Do you think Dustin Diamond had groupies when he was on Saved by the Bell? Like girls that wanted Screech. Because you know Zach did. And you know Slater.
Oh, yeah.
You know Mr. Richard Belding Haskins did.
Definitely did.
There were probably some moms out there, for sure.
I don't know. Because, like, what do they do? Like, groupies hang out outside the studio? Like, do you think he went out?
I'm just saying, like, do you think people crushed on him? Like, constantly, like, on Screech.
I think, how cool would it be if 1993, you're Dustin. See, he's 44 now. In 2020, right? So he would have been 1993. He would have been like 17, 18. So you're 21-year-old Screech in, say, 1995. Mm-hmm. 21-year-old Screech, and you go to a bar. You're Screech. It's 1995. Like, that's got to be awesome, right?
I don't know, man. Like, you're so typecast.
I think it would be too.
Like, you're Screech. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you got a bunch of money, you know?
Yeah, but
assuming he hadn't blown it all by that.
But would anyone like you for you, or would everybody just treat you like the nerd you were in the TV show?
No, I don't think he didn't like being called Screech. He wanted to be known as Dustin Diamond. He kind of wanted to get away from Screech.
Oh, sure,
but like, there was nothing you could do. You got to embrace it by that point. You're Screech, you know.
Yeah,
because he said that, but then again, he did 7 seasons of Saved by the Bell, the college years or whatever, or the new class or whatever it was, where he was like the janitor. In the school, so
I forgot about the college years.
Yeah, this new class, the 2 movies, the Las Vegas and Hawaiian Style, which are absolutely so brutally bad.
They're so brutally bad that they're good. They're fun to watch because they're so bad.
Yeah,
watching them get chased through Vegas casinos by 2 dudes that could never even get close to the mafia, pretending to be mafia people, is really funny.
They all take a trip to Hawaii alone in high school, mind you. In high school, 6 friends go to Hawaii for spring break by themselves. No parents. That's insane. And the only crazier thing is they get to the airport in Hawaii, and who do they run into? Their high school principal, who's also in Hawaii on spring break or for their summer break
or whatever it was.
And that's normal. And then they hang out with their high school principal the whole time they're in Hawaii.
All right, rank the Saved by the Bell. You got the college years, you got the videos, I mean the movies, you've got Malibu Sands, right?
Yeah.
Just the regular TV show has got to be number one, right?
Yeah, there's Saved by the Bell, and then I would stick Malibu Sands because that was a mini season inside a season. There was like 6 episodes.
No, there was like a whole 2 seasons of Malibu Sands or something.
And it was 6 episodes, man.
Really? No, yes. There's more than that.
I promise. Matter of fact, the last episode of Malibu Sands, there's Denise Richards is in it. She's uncredited.
And Stacy's in it.
Yeah, Leah Remini, isn't it?
Yeah, Leah Remini, who will eventually become the Queen of Queens. King of Queens. Yeah.
I would rank that in there, and then Hawaiian Style, then Vegas, then the new class, then college years at the end.
Oh, you're putting college years that low?
Last.
I loved college years with Mike Golick's brother in there.
I would put... Wild card would be the first 13 episodes around Disney Channel when it was called Good Morning, Miss Bliss. And it was like 13 episodes of what would become Saved by the Bell. It was like the pilot season.
That was a good one. It was like middle school.
It was like eighth grade. There was a kid that looked like Slater, but wasn't Slater. Yeah. And then he disappeared and was never heard from again. And I think Screech's last name was Steiner and not Powers. And then you have California Dreams, which was like the you know, like a fake version of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I forgot about California Dreams.
It was like Aldi brand Saved by the Bell. Was it California Dreamin' or California Dreams? I can't remember.
I think it was Dreamin'.
Something.
I might be wrong.
California Dreamin'. Wow.
I like the college years. I dug that. I watched that show a lot.
Yeah. The memories.
I always thought that Mike Golick's brother being on there was the coolest thing.
Mike Golick's brother?
Yeah. Yeah. He was a 49ers football player. And
it Mike was Golick's California brother. Dreams. That was the college years? Yeah.
Yeah. Saved by the Bell, the college years. Golick. Yeah. Type it in. There you go.
Oh my gosh, Bob Golick. You're right.
Bob Golick. That. Yeah, it's and
wow.
Bob was on Mike and Mike in the morning a couple times to hang out, and I was like, "Holy crap, that's the dude from Saved by the Bell in college years." And I was like, "Oh, that's awesome." Yeah. Anyway, would it be not combination if we weren't making random stories about stupid stuff? I don't think it would be.
Oh, that's neat.
So, fellas,
I gotta go semi-soon.
Yeah, I know you do. This is gonna be the end. This is the last episode ever. We're gonna be able to cut this into. If people listening right now are listening to the final minutes of the Knock On Nation podcast show.
What?
Was it prepared for this?
In the final minutes, fellas, tell me this.
I'm not prepared.
Best. I'm not prepared. And or slash best feuds over the years.
Best Nakoma guest. Oh, man, best guest. It's going to be a selfish one for me because I had him on solo probably, but Jim when Cotton. I had, yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's
pretty
your,
awesome.
Pinned tweet on your Twitter page.
Yeah. And the way I got that for people that are kind of semi sort of new. So Jim Cott was on Twitter. He ended up deactivating because the baseball bloggers of the world would tell him how stupid he was for not embracing war. You know, he's like, screw y'all. I'm Jim Cott,
yeah,
basically.
Much.
And he got into it with Tommy Poe one day about advanced metrics. And he was responding to Tommy Poe. And this was when me and Tommy were all buddies and stuff. And I sent Tommy a DM. Oh, no. Tommy was kind of being like a Mr. Know-it-all to Jim Cott, you know, like talking to him like, what do you think you know about this stuff? You know, you're just an old guy. And I'm like, dude, that's Jim Cott. And Jim Cott said, I'd love to talk about this sometime with you, man. And I sent Tommy a DM. I'm like, dude, you could have him on your podcast or interview him for your blog, dude. That'd be awesome. I think he is kind of approachable. And he's like, there's no use in arguing with a person like that, you know? And it was about baseball. Right. And I'm like, okay. So I reached out to Jim Cott and he like gave me his number and I called him and he was in Vermont and we talked about like golfing and baseball. Yeah. It was crazy. It was
really
crazy.
Good episode. Kind of fun.
If you are a young aspiring little podcaster, you'd be surprised at the people you can get on your little dumb podcast like we did.
If just you're not a jerk.
Oh, yeah. We agree that Corey and Neil are like two of the nicest guys we know. And they got freaking Jeff Passan on their podcast. Like Jeff Passan does like the Dan Patrick show. Jeff Passan does Buster Olney's podcast.
Huge deal. He's
and
the
Jeff
biggest
Passan
fan in baseball. Probably
like,
the biggest fan in baseball.
Nice. News. Like they're nice and he's nice and nice people, you know, if you be nice. And if you're mean like us, you don't get anywhere. So
that's true. It's true. probably. So it was cool having Michael Kelly on the show. That was like cool.
That was cool.
Know,
he's been a
you know like
big
I didn't
part
know
of
anything.
This.
And but I'll tell you probably my favorite episode with a guest, Josh, Jeff Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
I loved having Schultz on with us.
That was really
he came on
cool.
A couple
Jeff
times,
is such
you know,
a sweetheart.
And he let us kind of talk junk at him and him talk back. You know, like it was fun. And
yep.
He was down to earth and he told us about meeting Copy at the. My mind's going blank. The Vortex. That's it. The Vortex.
And Little Five Points.
And him getting a giant plate of cheese fries. Copy getting a giant plate of cheese fries. while he talked to Schultz and everything. Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite interviews.
That was up there, man. That might be that was definitely up there. Yeah, Jeff Schultz, man. He's this far left liberal guy, but he's cool, man. He didn't
act like a far left liberal guy when he talked to us. That was the fun part.
No, he's a down earth guy. He's a great guy.
You wouldn't let me actually be in the interview with DOB because you were afraid I was going to talk too much or say something inappropriate. So like you interviewed DOB on your own, and that ended up being a cool.
That was a lot of fun.
What about you, JT?
Yeah. I'd have to say that my favorite guest we ever had on was me.
Okay.
Because well, here's why. That's a good answer. You know, sometimes comedians would get to go on Johnny Carson, and they do a little 5-minute set, and you're nervous because you're on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and you hope you killed it, and you wouldn't know until after your set was over, and if you were lucky, Johnny would wave you over, and then you'd get to spend time on the couch with Johnny Carson. Then you knew you really made it, and you guys let me come sit on your couch. You guys let me come have a moment with you guys. And so I came on as a guest.
We made.
And I walk off the show with two of the best friends that I'll ever have. You guys are going to be crying on the podcast. They're crying in the club right now. But so I'm glad I came on. To me, I'm the favorite guest we've ever had because where would I be today if I had been like, no, I'm too busy. Maybe some other time. You know? So.
Yeah, man.
Thank you guys for letting me sit on your couch for a little bit and have this fun experience with you guys doing this stupid thing that we do. And it's been a blast. So,
man.
Very, very thankful. I mean, two of the best friends.
You guys are the best friends.
And I guess, you know, John and Jeff are cool too.
Well,
that weekend that we all went to Ken's house was like the best weekend.
I just remember being in the back of the truck at 7:30 in the morning. Ken is literally showing us the farm. We're not driving by and say, hey, there's my farm. We're going up and down hills in this, like, what year is that truck?
Oh, it's about 2005, something like that.
This is a utility farm truck. This is not for comfort. And it's hot. It's July 4th. I'm in the back. I've had 3 hours of sleep because I'm hungover because I'm drinking whiskey with your wives on the front porch all night. You fellas were asleep.
Until 4 in the morning.
Come get inside, which is good because they were all yelling at me for my dumb opinions. And so I've got 3 hours of sleep. I'm hungover. It's hot. There's like no air conditioning. And we're going up and down these hills. And it was I wanted to throw up all over the place. But it was such a blast. That was such a fun time.
I love that JT's best moment with us is being hungover and about to throw up.
Oh, that morning was rough. That was Sunday morning coming down for sure.
Well, fellas, thank you for all of our listeners, Patreon subscribers, everybody that's hung out with us for all these years. Josh, he wouldn't be here without you, buddy. I'm not going to get into some big speech because I'll be crying. So thanks for listening. Y'all better say something. Yep.
It's been fun.
Oh, kid. Oh, yeah. Thank you guys for, it's cool. It's cool that to have you guys, man. You guys are a big part of my life. And my wife said something the other night. She goes, my phone was going on. Like we're sitting there driving, and my phone keeps buzzing. You can hear it go, vroom, vroom, vroom. And she's like, she goes, who is that? And I looked at it. I was like, who do you think it is? I didn't even have to answer because she was like, who do you think it is? And she's like, dude, you guys have been in a group text for almost like 3 full years. And y'all have had it going longer than me because you were invited into it. And I was like, yeah, we have, haven't we? Like every day, there's not a day goes by that I don't talk to you guys, that I don't talk to Jeff Donahue, that I don't talk to John Howard. I talk to my mom like twice a week. Like, that's not an exaggeration. Like, I call my mom on Sundays, and like I talk to her today on Wednesday. That's about it. You know, I talk to my dad 3-4 times. I'll see him every now and then. Hey, how are you? You know, everything like that. I talk to you guys constantly, you know, and that's just how life is. That's just how it's become. I don't even think twice. You know, it's just where our friendship is.
Well, Ken, thanks for this is all you, man. We didn't really do much of anything, buddy. And shut your mouth. You sent me a DM in like what 2017 or something, and had this idea, and I was like, I was all snobby, and I was like, oh yeah, cool. I'll think about it, you know. And it was gonna be called like the Braves Way or something really gay like that. And, it was
Braves
so gay.
Braves Way.
It was Braves Life.
Braves Life. Braves life. And then you sent me that mock episode, and it just sounded awesome. And Nikki's like, you should totally do that. It's you need an outlet, Josh. You need an outlet. She tells me that all the time. You need an outlet, and I do. And so we did it, and we became like this married couple, and became like best friends, really. And then brought JT on, and it balanced everything out to where we were still like the married couple, but like we got along, Josh, way better.
Like,
you know,
quitting the show at the end of an episode.
he would still do that. He would still walk out several times. You know,
very rarely though. Like before that, it was pretty frequent. One of us would rage quit.
But you have been, Ken, you've been a huge influence on my life outside of this podcast. I know you know that, and I know you're the most humble guy in the world, but you just have been, man, and I wouldn't be where I am, really, just spiritually, just all that without you. I think God's really used you in my life, no doubt. And man, I just love you guys. Y'all have been just the best friends this idiot could ask for.
Yeah, let me tell you, too, there's not many people, you know, if you put something up on Facebook, like, oh, you know, my mom is sick, or my John Howard killed my dog, or something like that. There's a lot of people that will put on there, like, oh, praying for you guys, you know, praying for you. And, like, you know, and they know that they just typed praying and they're not doing it. Yeah. Let me tell you, Ken Hendricks is the kind of guy that when he says, I'm praying for you, his wife is, his kids are. Ken, that's the kind of dude you are, and I appreciate it. You walk the walk, you talk the talk, man. It's awesome. And Josh, dude, after 10 seconds, like, Josh and I feel like, did we know each other in a past life? Like, it just, you know what I mean? When you click, and it's like, dude, if I was gay and you were gay, like, we'd be dating. Like, you just are the same person. Like, we just get, the wavelength just clicked. And, you know, when you walk away, we docked together like that. And it was just like a hand in a glove, you know? And it's funny too, because, you know, a couple of years ago, this is right about maybe like the week I started doing the show, or first had come on the show. And we went to the Braves game that weekend for my birthday. They played the Diamondbacks. It was Saturday and Sunday. And I had known John Howard from Twitter and just, you know, talked to him. And I remember I saw him at the game and say, hey, hello, what's up? You know, real brief. And I remember driving home, and I'm like south of Turner Field, and I was like, had this thought. I was like, man, I really need to know John Howard. Like, he's a good guy. You know, that's a guy I need to become friends with. And like, now John's one of my best friends. Like, it's just, you know, just came up. And I know Jeff. I met Jeff first before I met any of you guys. And I include them into this because we talk them all the time.
Right.
I met Jeff first before I met anybody. And we were standing in a group, and he goes, he's like, Who is this guy on Twitter just added me? And like, oh, that's me. Hey, that's how we met. And we were like, I remember one time I said something to the effect in the group chat of like, somebody's talking about Flip Cup. And I was like, Flip Cup is so stupid. I haven't played that since college. That's for kids. And Jeff's like, the first night we met, you were playing Flip Cup. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I was. That was a long time ago. But that was like 5 years ago when I first met Jeff. And it's funny how those little chance encounters – and how time passes. 5 years seems like a long time, but then it's like, it's really not. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that's how you build friendships and become friends with these people that, you know, you just never thought, you know.
Yep.
Never ever thought, like, you know, coming on a silly podcast to talk
that's
baseball,
funny,
would,
man.
You know, become this, you know. So.
Yeah, and I would be remiss, as much as I love you guys, I'd be remiss not to shout out a couple other people. First of all the wives that put up with us recording for so many hours at different times. I mean, there were times we were doing like 4 and 5 hours a week and crazy stuff. And so shout out to all the wives. And then on top of that, also the one and only Boggy, Braves option guy, been our buddy from the beginning, stuck with us through thick and thin, had his own thing going on Twitter and said, you know what? Like, I want to be a part of what you guys are doing. Let me just use your stuff and I'll put out my stuff through you guys. And shut down. I think he had more followers than any of us when he ended up closing his account.
He
and
did.
Just like teaming up with us. And there probably wouldn't be much non-combination as far as fandom and that kind of thing, except for Boggy keeping people around when we pissed him off. You know,
oh,
his
man.
Stats and awesome.
And Boggy, who I still call him Boggy, I think his name is
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. like, wow, okay, I've never called him that. I mean, he's in my phone, it's Boggy. And he comes, he called me one time, and my daughter's in the truck, and it comes up, Boggy's called me, and she's like, what's a Boggy? And I was like, it's his name. It's like, that's a cool name. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. But Boggy is, he's a golden dude, man. He's the kind of guy that call to check on you, see how you're doing. It's never, he's a, sends you the random phone call, the random text, just see how you and the family are doing. I was going through a rough patch. Needed to pull the nose up a little bit. Boggy was talking to me all the time. You know, he's just he's got a good heart, and he's just a a great dude. Yeah,
solid
just
gold man.
Genuinely
yeah.
awesome person, and so it's been.
And he's really smart.
So, like ridiculous. Like you can test him with anything, and he'll come back with an answer. Like he knows so much. Like
so. With that said, we're going to, for y'all listening, we're going to keep the Nakahoma Twitter account going, you know, and we're, you know, Boggy still uses it and, we have, or he has a live, literally a live Google Doc spreadsheet. Yeah. Okay. Updated. Like it's live, like DOB references this thing of Braves transactions, options, contractual obligations the Braves have. It's insane. And then I'll use it for trolling purposes as well. So we'll still be on the Twitter.
Boggy's the kind of guy that enjoys putting something like that together, which God bless him. I'm glad someone likes
loves it
because I wouldn't want to do it. That's his stuff, man. And he's so knowledgeable about it. It's incredible. Like he's such a good resource to have because we could always be like, you know, send him a text. Hey, Boggy, we need to know X, Y, and Z. And he'd be like, on it. Done.
Yep.
Bloop,
yep.
And have it. You know?
Yep.
It's brilliant. It's like having our almost supercomputer.
It's been a ton of fun producing content for the last 4 years, hanging out with
two of the most creative
fellows that I could have ever met.
Ken, there's no way that's been fun. I can't imagine that's fun for you.
It's totally fun. And you guys come up with all kinds of crazy stuff, and I love every minute of it. It's been a ton of fun. Who knows what the future holds? Maybe there's a revival tour somewhere in the future, but as of right now, we're going to all take a nice little break, breathe a little bit, and if anything changes, we'll let you know out there, listeners. But we'll never say never, but we're all going to enjoy some time off.
For the right price, we'll get back together, right?
For the right price, we'll do it.
If someone's willing to host us to do like a live podcast and pay for us and give me a bar tab or something, like.
Do we have any rich listeners, like some wealthy listeners that would do that?
Because
that'd be cool.
Like, if our rich listeners never even became patrons. Like, I mean, that's what you have to
say. That's true.
Maybe we'll have to do another live show when we get back together. We need to have a springtime. Guys weekend. I'll have you guys down at my castle down here. Because Ken, we've been to your place and Josh, I've been to your place. We've been to John's and I'm not going to Jeff's. It's like super haunted. So I'm not going to Jeff's house. Nikki would make me stay on the front porch anyway. So
I think Jeff's house is also smaller than Josh's. So
there's a Civil War ghost in there. I'm out. I'm not doing it. So
But that's going to do it for the Nakahoma Nation podcast show. It's been a blast. I'm Ken Hendricks. You can follow me at KenDH on Twitter. I don't accept friends on Facebook unless I actually know you in person, so don't come hunt me down on Facebook. And that's at Rhubarb Brown. Josh, I think he's got like a special Facebook page so that you people don't know anything about him. Except
he's got like a media page. He's got his page, and then it's like he's got a celebrity page, which is pretty awesome.
Kind of smart.
I'm like verified on Facebook, that's awesome, man.
And then there's JT, not on Twitter, Holton.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook or you can 120 Castlegate Road, Macon, Georgia 31210. You can come by some time, knock on the door, and I might let you in. Maybe we'll come hang out.
Warning, JT also concealed carries most of the time. Just letting you know. In case you're one of those weird listeners.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
Thanks for listening. That's going to do it. Have a good night.
This would be the perfect time to realize like one of us hadn't been recording.